Bezrat Hashem, this evening, I wanted to share with you a very fundamental hashkacha regarding the mitzvahs of the Torah. And that is the relationship between chukim and mishpatim. I don't know if you noticed, but in Parshas Yisro, when the Ibn Ezra begins his parish on the Aseres HaDibros, he defines for us, in classic terms, the definition of chukim and mishpatim, which I'm just repeating in terms of continuity this evening. I know that it's a basic concept to you. Chukim are the mitzvahs which are not understood by a person. Rationally, we don't understand why these mitzvahs were given or their purpose. And the mishpatim are mitzvahs that are very rational. Mosigzo, Kibaravo M, mitzvahs that we understand very simply. I might say that they are mitzvahs that we even wonder why they have to be in the Torah. The mitzvah that the Seichel HaOdom would do a good job coming up with those mitzvahs without the Torah. So that's the classic definition that the Ibn Ezra develops when he introduces the Aseres HaDibros to us in his parish. Actually, this twofold distinction of mitzvahs was mentioned previously, before the Aseres HaDibros in the Ibn Ezra. It's mentioned in the Chumash, towards the ends of Parshas Bishamach, at Morah. If you recall, the Pasuk says, Shom Som Lo Chok U'Mishpat, that the Eibishter gave us some of the mitzvahs of the Torah at Morah, before Har Sinai. We touched upon it in the Chumash Vadim the other week. Shom Som Lo Chok U'Mishpat. And we find in the Mechilta that the Mechilta defines chok as Shabbos, and Shabbos certainly is a chok, and mishpat is defined as kibud av v'em. That's a Mechilta on that pasuk in Bishamach. Kibud av v'em is certainly something that's rational, that's mishpat. In Shabbos, we don't understand the reasons for Shabbos. And that is in the getter of a chok, of the chukim. I also mentioned in the Chumash Vadim, at least in one of them, I mentioned the Ramban. And the Ramban explains why mitzvahs had to be given to us before Maimon Har Sinai. Why couldn't we wait the Parshas Yisro and there give the mitzvahs to us? Why did some of the mitzvahs have to be given to us at Morah? And he says that 2 million people are living together in a desert. They're marching together, they're camping together. They have to have basic ground rules. They have to have yesodos of Bein Odom L'Chaveiro. They have to have yesodos of Mishpatim. And therefore, they have to be given some of the mitzvahs. Mitzvahs of Derech Eretz. How to conduct themselves in the privacy of their own homes. Respect for Zakenim. And other examples that the Ramban gives, revolving around Derech Eretz, in Midas Toivus. So that's why they have to be given those mitzvahs. They have to be given those mitzvahs at Moro. I'll ask you a favor. If you'll sit over here, it's much easier for me if everyone is in front of me. But somehow, the Ramban does not relate to chukim that were given at Moro. What the Ramban says refers to mishpot. Shom som lo chok u mishpot. Refers to mishpotim. That's why you had to have the mishpotim given at Moro, because they set the ground rules for bein odom lechaveiro. So you can have a society of millions of people living together, and you're given basic ground rules how to regulate the relationships bein odom lechaveiro. That we understand. But the Ramban doesn't give us a reason for chukim that we're given at Moro, like Shabbos. That we doesn't give. So I want to share with you an interesting chat that I heard from Rav Rogoff, Zichrono Livracha. I learned by him from 18 to 21. He made me a Ben Torah. An extraordinary person, came to Chicago after the war. He was in Shanghai during the war. Had a tremendous impact upon his Talmidim. And I heard him speak once at the wedding of a chover. At the wedding of a chover, here they don't speak under the chuppah, but in America many times Rabbonim speak under the chuppah. And he said these few words under the chuppah was the first time that I heard this hashkofah. It's one of the most basic hashkofahs in Torah. The Ashkofa that I heard from him at that time. He related to the first Rashi in the Parsha, the Eina HaMishpotim. And the Rashi already explains what's the Vav HaChibur. It could say Eina HaMishpotim. We're starting a new Seder in the Chumash with completely different mitzvahs that are not at all connected to what we learned about in Parshas Yisro. So Rashi says, V'eina ha-mishpotim, mat rishonim nitnu b'sinai, af achronim nitnu b'sinai. Just like the mitzvahs in Yisro, we read the Aseres HaDibros, were given to us at Har Sinai, so too the mishpotim in Parshas Mishpotim were also given in Har Sinai. That's what Rashi says. And he explained, what's the significance that the Torah has to make special mention that the Mishpatim in this week's parsha were also given in Har Sinai. Why does the Chumash have to make a special nimu to tell us that? V'eina ha-Mishpatim. And he said as follows, and I remember as young as I was at the time, that his words had special meaning to me because he ran away from Europe and Nazi Germany. He ran away from he escaped the Holocaust. Why his words have special meaning to me. And essentially what he said is that if a person were to observe Mishpatim because they're rational and because we understand very clearly why we're given such mitzvahs, you don't have to have a pilpul to understand why a person should not kill somebody. You don't need a pilpul to explain why you shouldn't steal from someone. It's pashut. He said, if the basis of the mishpatim were only the fact that our seichel dictates to us that these mitzvahs are proper to observe, and they were not given on Har Sinai, they're not mitzvahs from Hashem, then we would rationalize them. From murder down the line. Hitmer Yamach Shemo had no difficulty not just rationalizing murder, but rationalizing genocide. I don't remember exactly, I believe once reading that the total amount of people that were killed by the Nazis, Yimach Shemon, maybe approximated 20,000. 20 million, I'm sorry, 20 million people. We talk about 6 million Jews. 20 million human beings were destroyed by this monster. He had no problem. He had a philosopher who gave him a rationale for what he was doing. He felt he deserved a medal. He's making the world a better place in which to live by getting rid of all the inferior people. He had his rationale that justified genocide, not just the murder of an individual. And that's why the Mishpatim have to be given at Har Sinai. Because if you avoid killing a person, you refrain from killing a person because your seichel tells you that it's wrong to do, then a person doesn't have to work too hard and he'll get his seichel to rationalize that this person is a mitzvah to kill. That's why the mishpatim have to be given in Har Sinai, ve'eina ha-mishpatim. That these mitzvahs we're going to read about, they're going to be rational mitzvahs that we understand so simply, like 2 and 2 is 4, and 1 and 3 is 4. So too are all these mitzvahs called mishpatim. Why you shouldn't kill, why you shouldn't steal, why you shouldn't commit adultery. Very simple. But they have to be observed because they're mitzvahs of the Torah. If not, we'll rationalize them. That's V'eina HaMishpatim. And as I said before, his words had a special impact upon me because he experienced personally in his life exactly what he was telling us. He saw it with his eyes. You have a very simple example in the Gemara in Bava Basra that comes to my mind in Kuf Samech Hei. The Gemara says, Rubam Begezo, the majority of people are nichshol in stealing. What's the pshat in that? The majority of people that we know are law-abiding citizens. They don't go around stealing. Rubam Begezel, the Gemara says, in the time of the Chazal, not nowadays. Rashi gives us the pshat. Rashi says, Rubam Begezel, you know what we mean when we say the majority of people are crooks. You don't mean to say they go into the bank with a machine gun and they hold up the teller. Or they go into a jewelry store and put the people against the wall at gunpoint and they run and shovel up all the diamond rings and gold watches. It's not what they're talking about. Majority of people don't do that. Rashi says the majority of people are crooks. They steal, they take money dishonestly because they rationalize. What I'm doing is not stealing. I'm taking what belongs to me. I'm working here for so many years, he hasn't given me a raise for the last 10 years. He's hired new people in these last 10 years who are getting paid more than I am. So whatever I put in my pocket, I deserve much more than that. They're not crooks. They rationalize stealing. You can rationalize murder, you can rationalize stealing. It's an example of what the Rogoffs itself had mentioned in the Pshat, in the Eina HaMishpatim. The Mishpatim also have to be observed with a divine discipline because it's a mitzvah of Hashem and you can't tamper with it. You have all the reasons in the world. You can have 20 sheets filled with rayas, understand? Why this is not stealing, but according to the Kosher Mishpat, it's Gezel, so it's stealing and finished. We're not interested in your rayas. I wanted to say that that Pshat in the Gemara and Shabbos, a very interesting Gemara and Shabbos, part of which we know, and part of which we just forget about. We just skip over it when we quote the Gemara or look at the Gemara. It's in Shabbos Mamed Aleph, Omed Aleph. We have one of the famous stories about Hillel and Shammai and the people who came to them to be Megayer, to become Yidden. And towards the end of that sugya, the Chazal tell us as follows. Shuv Maise Benochri Echot, Shabom Ifnei Shammai. Omar Le Gareini, Al Menashe Talmideini, Kol HaTorah Kula, Kishani Omer HaRegol Machas. We all know the Gemara. He goes to Shammai, he wants to become a ger. If he teaches him the whole Torah while standing on one foot, he's in a big rush. He doesn't have too much time to spend learning Torah. He wants a shortcut to becoming a yid. Dochfol bi'amas habinyan. Shammai takes one of the beams of the building in which he was and push the man out from before his presence. Dochfol bi'amas habinyan shibiyodo. Bom ifnei Hillel, the goy is not daunted, and he comes to Hillel. And Hillel converts him. Amazing thing. Hillel converts him. Gairi. So now he has to fulfill his request. Omar lo, di'aloch sani nechavercho lo tavid. Whatever is hated by you, you would hate for someone to do this to you, don't do it to anybody else. Don't do it to your chaver. Zuhi koma toira kuma. Idoch perusha hu zil gemora. This is the whole Torah, he tells him. So that part of the Gemara we all are familiar with. It's the last few words that we conveniently just skip over, consciously or subconsciously. The rest is a perush, zil gemor, go and learn it. But that's the whole Torah, is in that sentence. Meforshim speak already why he mentioned the ohavtam areicho kamocha in the negative form. We're not going into that now. So Rashi gives two pshatim in the Gemara. The first pshat is the aloch senei lachavercho lo savi. Who's the chavercho? What you don't want done to yourself, don't do to your chaver. Reyacha v'reya avicho al tazo, v'posik in Mishle. Ze HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Reyacha has a broader meaning than just chaver. Chaver is a very limited meaning, a friend. But reyacha in a broader sense includes HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Reyacha, your friend and the friend of your father, al tazo. Don't forsake his teaching. Ze HaKadosh Baruch Hu, says Rashi. Al tavor al devorov, don't go against his words. Sharei olech sanoi, because you hate if somebody will go against your words. Shiavor chavercho, you don't want your chaver to go against your words. That's the first pshat in Rashi. The second pshat in Rashi, nishnachrino chavercho mamish, talking about your friend. The poshut way we understand the Gemara. Kigong zeimo, Geneva, Niu, Verov HaMitzvahs. So when we read the Gemara, and the Gemara says that this is the whole Torah, Shar Pirusha, the rest is a perish, go and learn it. The question is an obvious one. What about the mitzvahs Bein Adam Mamakom? What do you mean that the mitzvahs be that includes the whole, all of the mitzvahs bein Adam lechaveiro. But what about mitzvahs bein Adam amokom? Where is that included? He said, that's the whole Torah. The whole Torah is don't do to others what you wouldn't want others to do to you. But what about the bein Adam amokom? Rashi's bothered with that question. That's why the first pshat in Rashi is maybe a little doichik, but Rashi says, that Chaver Chorv includes a Kodesh Baruch Hu also in a broader sense, because Rashi bothered with that question. What happens to the Bein Adam Lamakom? So Chaver Chorv refers to a Kodesh Baruch Hu too, not just people. But Rashi gives a second shot. Rashi gives two independent Perushim. The second shot refers Bein Adam Lachaveru, your Chaver. Don't do to your Chaver what you wouldn't want him to do to you. But the question comes back again. What about the Bein Adam Lamakom? This is Mishpatim. The Bein Adam Lachaveru are Mishpatim. They're very mitzvahs that are easily understood. What about the Bein Adam Lamakom? The whole Torah is just Bein Adam Lachaveru. So I wanted to say that that's the pshat in the Gemara. Itoch Perusha Zil Gemara. The rest of the Torah, the Bein Adam Lamakom, is a Perush and the Bein Adam Lachaveru. What do I mean a Perush and the Bein Adam Lachaveru? The Bein Adam Lamakom teaches us an intellectual discipline. Bein Adam Lamakom refers to Chukim. Chukim are not Bein Adam Lachaveru. Bein Adam Lachaveru are Mishpatim. The Chukim are Bein Adam Lamakom. And the Chukim we observe because it's the Ratzon of Hashem. The Chukim instill and inculcate within every person a discipline to follow the Ratzon Hashem even though we don't understand what we're doing. We don't understand the mitzvah shatnes, and everyone in this room has a suz, check for shatnes. We don't understand why. That's the pshat. The Bein Adam Lamakom is included in Shar Perusha Zil Gemor, Idoch Perusha Zil Gemor. The rest of the Torah, the Bein Adam Lamakom, is a Perush and the Bein Adam Lachaveru. It's a Perush because it teaches us that the Bein Adam Lachaveru have to be observed with a divine discipline, even though we don't understand it. We may understand it, but not the understanding is not the reason that we observe the Bein Adam Lachaveru. We observe the Bein Adam Lachaveru like we observe Chukim. The Chukim are a Perush and the Bein Adam Lachaveru. They teach us to listen to the Ratzon Hashem even if we don't understand what He's telling us to do. It's interesting that even Yisroel was aware of this concept. When Yisroel gives Moshe the advice and how he should relate to the Yidden in answering their shyness and teaching them Torah and so on. So after he gives them the advice, he says as follows, in the beginning of Yisroel, Yisharto eshem es hachukim ves hatoros, hodato mohem haderech yeichu bo es hamaisa asher yasu. Teach them chukim and toros, and inform them of the derech yeichu bo hamaisa asher yasu. You're learning Baba Metzia now, and in the afternoon you learn Bekiyas, and you learned this plot already in Eilu Metzios. I just want to remind you what the Gemara says on Lamed Omed Beis. The Gemara mentions this pasuk: "V'odato mohem ze beis chayeim," to teach them a parnasa. "Haderech gemilas chasodim yeochu bo." Biker Cholim. Yehu ze Biker Cholim. Bo Kfura Sames. Es Hamaisa ze Hadin. Asher Yasun Zulifni Meshuris Hadin. So the whole pasuk that Yisroel is referring to Moshe Rabbeinu, telling him what to do, refers to Bein Adam Lachaveru. Every word is darshan on different aspects of Bein Adam Lachaveru. But sometimes we overlook that there is a reshit to the pasuk that the Gemara does not darshan. In the beginning, Yisrael tells them, Yisharto esem es ha-chukim ve-es ha-toros. First, he told them chukim. And then he went on to give them the whole list of the mishpatim, of the bein adam u'chaveiro that they should observe. And the reason is what we're speaking about this evening, because if you don't give them the chukim, and you don't train them and discipline them and get them into the habit of following the Ratzon Hashem, even if they don't understand it, then the mishpatim also are going to fall to the wayside. They'll never last. I must tell you, I must digress to tell you an interesting anecdote. I was once, it'll come in handy the next time you're Mevaker Choli. I was once, when we were living in Miami, so I was once in bed sick. I had a cold or a flu, whatever it was. And the Ponovizhia Rav Zal came to be Mevaker Choli. He used to stay in our Kehillah every winter and daven in the shul. And I was oited to become quite close to him. So he came in to be Mevaker Choli. He came in, so my wife right away put him in the chair. He should sit down. He refused to sit down. He says, it says in the Gemara, Vayechu zu biker cholim. That biker cholim, you have to be mekayim while you're walking. Walking in and walking out. Because if you sit down, sometimes a fellow comes to visit a sick man, and he sits down in a comfortable chair, he makes himself at home. And a half hour later, an hour later, he's still sitting there. It's very demanding on the choyma to have visitors who don't know when to leave. So he said, the Gemara says, Vayechu boz biker cholim. Biker cholim, you're supposed to be in a kind of standing and walking. But therefore, he didn't sit down. He walked in and stood a few minutes, and then he left. I want to conclude by sharing with you two insights into two Rambams. Very, very important Rambams that we should know. And not many people are aware of them. The first Rambam I want to mention is in Hilchos Me'ilah. And the Rambam says like this, in Perek Ches, Halacha Ches, Nemar b'toyre, ushmartem es kol chukosai, v'es kol mishpotai, v'asisem osam. That's the pasuk. Omru chachomim, niten shmira v'asiya mochukim kimishpotim. It says, shmartem es kol chukosai, es kol mishpotai, v'asisem osam. So the shmartem, the verb at the beginning of the pasuk, the asisem, the verb at the end of the pasuk, obviously both refer to chukim and mishpati. So the Rambam says the significance is, tzimmer merloshen in the Mechilta, the Rambam says, omr chachomim nitein shmira v'asiya l'chukim k'mishpatim. You should observe, and you should guard the chukim like the mishpatim. We know what asiya means. To do the mitzvah, shiyasa chuki. What's shmira? She yizohir bohem, v'lo yedama shehem chusim mina mishpatim. Shmira means you should protect yourself and guard yourself from treating the chukim lightly because you don't understand them. You have to guard and observe the chukim just like the mishpatim, just like mosigzo v'lo tirtzoch. That's how you have to be makbid in observing the chukim. Just as if you would understand them. That's the shmira for the chukim. Asiya, yudua, you should do them. The shmira, that you should be makbid about them, just like your makbid on the mishpatim. It also mentions here the difference between chukim and mishpatim, which we said in the beginning of the shmuz tonight. But it's interesting, The Rambam does not explain what is Shmira by Mishpati. Nitein Shmira ve'asiyah lochukin and Shmira ve'asiyah to Mishpati. So the Shmira ve'asiyah by chukin, we understand. Shmira, you should observe them even though you don't know the meaning. Ve'asisem, Shmira means you shouldn't think lightly of them because you don't know the meaning. And asiyah, you should do them just like you do the Mishpatim, which you do understand. But the Rambam does not explain what's the Shmira by Mishpatim. What's the Shmira by Mishpatim? The Shmira by Chukim is not to take them lightly because you don't understand the meaning. So I wanted to say the Shmira by Mishpatim is what we're talking about this evening. The Shmira of Mishpatim is because you do understand them. Be careful and don't start to rationalize the Mishpatim. That's what the Shmira is. You have to watch yourself and protect yourself not to begin to rationalize that in this case it's not gezel, and in this case it's not murder, and my parents did this and this and this and this to me, and I don't have to be mechabe them. That's the Shmira by Mishpatim, exactly what we're speaking about this evening. The second Rambam I want to share with you is a Rambam in the end of Hilchas Melachim. At the end of Hilchas Melachim, there's a Gevaltik Rambam. It's the Rambam Shita that if a goy is mekabel the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach, then he's a Ben Olam Haba. That's the Rambam Shita. It's a fascinating Shita to the Tiferes Yisrael. Talk about another time. But that's the Rambam Shita. In the end of Perek Ches, Halacha Yud Aleph, he says as follows, Kol HaMakabel Sheva Mitzvahs V'nizor La'asosom HaReze Mechaside Umos Ha'olam V'yesh Mochenet Mo'olam Haba. That's the Rambam. But then the Rambam qualifies his statement. And he said there's a condition, there's a but. What's the but? For who she akabel oson, viyasa oson, vipnei shetzivo bohem akodesh baruch hu betoire, hodionu al yedei Moshe Rabbeinu, shebenei noach, mikodem nitzavu bohem. It's only if a goy observes the sheva mitzvahs b'nei noach, because they were given to the Torah, which Moshe Rabbeinu gave the world, gave Klal Yisrael. They were mentioned in the Torah. They were given to the B'nai Noach. If he observes the Sheva Mitzvah B'nai Noach, because they're in the Torah, and because they're commandments of Hashem, then he's from the Hasidei Umos Ha'olam. The punchline of the Rambam is what I'm going to mention now to you. Avol. In Oson, if he observes the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noah, B'nei Hechreya Hadas, because his intelligence tells them they're very logical and they make a lot of sense, and the right thing to do. Civilization needs these Sheva Mitzvahs. And he does it because they make a lot of sense, and he appreciates the logic behind them. Ein ze ger toshav, he's not a ger toshav. Eino mechaside umos ha'olam, he's not from the chaside umos ha'olam, v'lo mechachmehem, and he's not from their wise men either. So the question is a glaring question, that he's not from the chaside umos ha'olam, we understand, because he's observing the Sheva Mitzvah because of his seichel, nothing to do with God, so why should it be a chassid? It's not because he relates to Hashem and Hashem tells him don't do these seven things. So why is not from the Chassidei Umos Ha'olam? We know. But why can he not be from Chachmehem? He can't be a great philosopher? Why can't he be a Goyish philosopher who believed that these seven mitzvahs are tremendous for human society, tremendous for human civilization, and I'm going to observe them because my seichel tells me it's the right thing. Why can't he be from their chachmehim? Why can't he be a great philosopher? So I wanted to say, based on what we're saying tonight, he's not from their chachomim either. Because if he would be a chacham, he would understand that if these mitzvahs are going to be observed because of seichel, it won't be worth 2 cents, because everybody will rationalize anytime they want to commit one of these seven avers. That's all. It doesn't mean anything. Any system of morality and ethics that's based on intelligence of man cannot last at all. It is worthless. Worthless. Because it'll be rationalized. Many years ago, a person gave me a certain pocketbook written by a well-known apikoiris, one of the, probably the biggest apikoiris in the world, a philosopher. And he certainly doesn't believe in Torah min Shemayim, or any divine revelation. And it's interesting, I wanted to see what's his system, this great Kochmensch, what's his system of morality based on? Divine revelation, he doesn't hold from it. No. What's his morality, what's his system of ethics and morality based on? I'm not going to read the whole book. I read the first few pages where he knocks down revelation. I turned to the end of the book, and I found there exactly what I expected to find. Exactly. You know what he says? That every person decides for himself what's good and bad. That's what he says. There is no other answer to the question. Either we accept a divine revelation, we accept the Torah min Shemayim, where the Eibershter tells us what's right and wrong, what's good and bad, or else any way you want to say it, you can disguise it any way you want, give it any kind of costume, but the bottom line is, if you strip away all the camouflage, the bottom line is that every human being on earth determines his own standard of morality and ethics. It's one or the other. There is nothing else. And that's how he finished his paper there. So there is no other answer. So we should appreciate that the system of Torah and mitzvahs, of chukim and mishpatim, that they correlate to each other and they complement each other. That the Eibershter gave us a Torah Chaim by which we can live a life of fulfillment and peace and happiness in Olam Hazeh, and be zoichu l'chai Olam Habah.